Gene Boldick is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for a thing, not a thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? And this whole format is getting real outdated because this week, again, there is only one thing that everyone is talking about. It's the election, and it's obviously a thing. So how do we pick this apart?
For me, this is very easy. What's the thing for me this week is that a woman has been elected
vice
president.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's a thing. And another thing is the fact that that is not the primary thing that folks are talking about, right? Like I was reflecting on this earlier today that Kamala Harris is going to be the first president or like the first female president or vice president either. And it is not the front and center headline. So I think that is a significant development as well that we ought to be noticing and celebrating, right?
Yeah. Would you ever have predicted that 2 years ago? Not me.
Actually, that's the glass ceiling that Hillary broke. Like, we can be disappointed at the fact that she lost if we were a fan of Hillary in 2016. But I think the fact that she ran and won the popular vote and was widely expected to be the winner, even if it didn't work out that way, I think that whatever was still blocking that door, I think that candidacy and her experience through 2016, I think that knocked all the other obstacles out.
And I would say too, Aaron, that, you know, if you ever need a door knocked down, I think you should call Hillary Clinton because, you know, she was banging on that door in 2008.
Yep.
And was sufficiently professional in how she conducted herself in that campaign, that she came right into the Obama administration as Secretary of State. And by the account of a lot of people, including a lot of Republicans, right after she left, did a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was a very active, highly influential Secretary of State. And then she continued banging on that door in 2016 and got the nomination and got that much closer and won the popular vote. In my judgment, those two things acted as kind of a battering ram to just leave that wide open for Kamala Harris, who, you know, as you say, I mean, it's not that controversial. And for me, again, and I'm particular about this, I think that the Biden cabinet is just going to be a sight to see. It's going to look a lot like America.
Yeah. And speaking of people who broke down barriers and pushed aside obstacles and busted down doors, Stacey Abrams? Who would have thought Georgia would have been the one state to we're not done with the counting in Georgia and we're still going to have a recount. So, you know, there's no way to call it right now, but it's definitely the bluest of the states and certainly appears likely to go for Biden this year. And who would have thought Georgia would have been the first one? We would have thought Florida, North Carolina, but it was Georgia.
Exactly.
And that's all on Stacey Abrams.
I'm so disappointed it's not us. I can't tell you. But boy, Stacey Abrams, man, did she make the right decision in not running for one of those Senate seats. I am so glad she made the decision she did, because I think that the work that she's done for the last 2 years has possibly set the stage for the Democrats to pick up one of those seats. It's hypothetically possible it would be both of them, maybe the presidential as well. She did an amazing job down there.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's stunning.
I've got some friends in Georgia who are going to be very, very delighted about this for months to come, and they're going to be very annoying about it, but I'll take it, I think. They're going to be real annoying about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting it already from my cousin who grew up in Arizona. She's not there now, but she's going, "Let me see if I have this right. We have two Democratic senators and you did what the what?" You know, what has gone on in North? How in the world did Roy Cooper so easily get elected? And yet, Trump is doing so well in North Carolina. That is a real head scratcher.
The one interesting thing, and I've talked with a number of people about this on the air, and actually Roy Cooper apparently said something similar in his press conference yesterday, so I'm certainly not the only one to notice it, but for as crazy as 2020 has been, and as much as we all look outside at the world and, you know, we all talk about 2020 as this big dumpster fire where everything's gone wrong and we've got COVID and Trump's giving press conferences and tweeting whatever and everyone is just dissatisfied with the way the country is going, we then all went to the polls and basically reelected the status quo, which is the strangest thing of all of this to me. The fact that in North Carolina, we're going to have the same party in control of the governor's office, same party in control of the General Assembly. The incumbents' party won all the Council of State races. Tiny little switches in the votes in the judicial races, which were good for Republicans, but that's like the only thing that changed, and that was just the tiniest little thing in terms of like the vote count. And then same thing in the national picture. Democrats are going to control the U.S. House. Republicans are probably going to control the Senate unless Democrats are really super turnout in Georgia. And then the presidency, you know, it looks likely that it's going to flip parties, although, again, still we're not calling that yet. But it looks likely that it's going to flip parties. But honestly, like, that vote was almost identical, too. Almost all the states were pretty much the same. And the only states that flipped were just these tiny little changes that were just enough to make the difference, with the one exception of Georgia, where there actually was a significant shift from the Republicans to the Democrats. And again, that's on Stacey Abrams. And that's I think that's a model for other Democrats to follow in other states. But the rest of the country was very similar to 2016, which, considering everything that has gone on in the last 4 years, is surprising to me. But that's what what the outcome was.
Well, I mean, I think it's a couple of things. One is I think fear has something to do with it, and it's complicated how that works on people's minds. I think that racism is a real thing, and you know, the structural elements of that Trump has been sustaining. I think that that's real, and I think that I think that we know much too little in a sophisticated way about what causes people to vote for a person like Donald Trump, who is not working for the public good. I mean, there's some element of what's driving that we are simply not understanding sufficiently. I hope that we can get after that as time goes along.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
So this week, I just had a wonderful interview today with Penny Rich, and we did a little debrief on the election and on this race and the election overall and how the future is female, and you know, heaved a big sigh of relief over the course of an hour. It was great fun.
Well, check it out on 97.9 The Hill this weekend. Again, you can get the full broadcast calendar on our website, chapelboro.com. Go to weekendwatercooler.com for the full archive. And you can also get the full archive in the on-demand section on chapelboro.com as well. Gene Bolduc, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.